Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this December 4th, 2023, 3:04 on the clock, got your host James behind the mic. I am joined by my favorite pitch hitter ever. Seth Havhager with us for Randy Paul today.
Why? Thank you. I'm no Lenny Harris, but you know,
I put you on the spot with that. Yeah, one. I put you on. I think of immediately what pitch hitters, famous pitch hitters,
Orlando Palmeiro. Maybe he was good.
I thought of Fred McGriff, who like pitch hit like five times in his career. I don't know why. I don't know why the crime dog popped in my head.
John Vanderwall. He
nice,
was good.
Great deep cut right there. That's the kind of show it's going to be. Everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
Nothing but '90s references.
All players. Yeah. Obscure 90s baseball players.
We are here to take your phone calls, 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. You just got done watching a weekend of sports. Let's talk about it. Whatever you want to talk about. Unfortunately for us, nothing happened over the weekend, so there's nothing for us to talk about.
Not a thing.
We will get into the college football playoffs. I want to get into the winter meetings with you, Seth. Mm-hmm. I certainly want to talk about, most importantly, the college football Pop-Tart Bowl. Have to get into that. There's a lot on the bone today for us to
there
get
is,
into.
There is, actually.
But you guys come first. 424-2600. Let's go ahead and take a call. What's on your mind?
Well, you really knocked it out of the park, no pun intended, with your 90s baseball references.
Oh, yeah.
For you. All right. I got two more.
All right.
How about Jay Buhner
and
Paul O'Neill?
Jay Buhner, great hitter, part of a great Mariner team that a lot of us paid attention to because of Griffey and some other reasons. Also, I believe that Jay Buhner was always had that hair.
At
seven, Jay Buhner looked like that. I'm positive. Like grade school pictures of Jay Buhner looks the same.
Yeah. He would look exactly the same.
Paul O'Neill was he played for the Reds too, didn't he?
He started out with the Reds. In fact, he won a World Series with them.
The Reds. That's
in 1990, he won a World Series with them. With Lou Piniella and that team. And then, of course, he went to the Yankees and won a whole bunch more with that one. And, you know, he was like one of the mainstays of those late 90 teams. I always think of like him and Bernie Williams, you know, and those guys. I know Jeter. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who cared about him? Sure. But Paul O'Neill, at least Bernie Williams was the fun one, the nice one. Paul O'Neill was like the grouch.
Yeah.
He was always cranky and crabby. So that's what I remember about him.
You mentioned Lou Piniella. Did you hear that he got snubbed for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. In my notes of things to get to today, I did want to give a shout out to Jim Leland, who is getting into the Hall of Fame very deservingly.
But
unfortunate note to Lou Piniella, because I think Sweet Lou belongs in there. I don't have his stats off the top of my head. I know that he was a great manager. And if you told me, you know, one of the telltales to me, if somebody says, hey, Lou Piniella's not in the Hall of Fame, really? Lou Piniella's not in the Hall of Fame? Mm-hmm. Would have thought he'd be in the Hall of Fame? It just seems like he should be in the Hall of Fame. Not that that's a reason like, oh, well, then let's make him in the Hall of Fame. Not that that's a reason.
No, I hear you.
It's one of those ones I'm not going to get bent out of shape over.
You know, he had just enough of he was just missed. He was a very good player. When he was a player, he was a very good hitter, and then he was a very good manager, but just not enough on both counts. He wasn't quite there.
Yeah. Anything else, bro?
Yeah, I actually have a quote. Thinking of baseball, I've got a Bob Uecker quote, and it's directed right for you guys because you're the sports guys on radio. Mm. And the quote is, on TV, people can see it, but on radio, you've got to create it.
Yeah,
that's a great quote.
That's a really good one.
Like
that's
that.
A really, really good one, man.
I figured you and Randy would probably appreciate that. I don't know if Seth gets out in the local ones, but I had a question for you guys in case you didn't have enough to talk about. I was wondering, you always talk about all these sports. I was wondering if you had any favorite ones. What are your favorite ones to play or watch when you were a kid?
Nice.
But I'll leave you with that.
Thank you, bro. Have a great day. Have a good one. We'll talk soon. 424-2600, best callers in radio.
Yeah.
Appreciate you all. Seth, anyone answer that?
I the sports that I played growing up, I did play baseball. That was probably number one. I organized and unorganized, played with, you know, cousins and stuff. We would get, you know, pick up games together and that kind of thing. I played a fair amount of basketball. Not, I mean, I... for someone who grew up in the woods, you know, I couldn't go to like to the neighborhood and say, like, hey, let's play a game of basketball. But when I had a chance, I would do a little bit of that. But then when I got older, I think I gave up both of those because, you know, it's harder to do that when you get older kind of thing. I played a lot more tennis, actually.
Nice.
When I was in my 20s, I actually played tennis, so which I would still like to do. Tennis is fun. Mm-hmm. It's a very fun sport, and it's a great exercise. I mean, considering – think about how much you do when you're playing tennis back and forth, and, you know, you're running constantly. So it's that's probably of my favorite to play is probably tennis.
I like those. You know, it's a sneaky thing. All the people I know from Minnesota, including one of my uncles, love basketball. And part of my uncle used to tell me, you only got to play it 2 weeks a year, so you really ended up being good at it and loving it. You know,
right.
Famously, Prince had a basketball court in his or a hoop in his, Paisley Park, and everything would challenge people to play and stuff. And turns out was really, really good at basketball.
Yeah, even though he's like what 5'3" or whatever,
something like that. For me, growing up on the South Side of Chicago, water polo was huge. Man, a lot of people don't realize this, but we played a ton of water polo in this. No, we
It's like, did you have a pool?
growing up, loving watching my dad box and hockey. I loved watching those sports. I started to get tuned into college basketball by my aunt when I was young and really got into that. And then as I moved out here, I started to get into a lot more college athletics in general and everything. Right. And I started to – I inserted myself in every sport I could. And as soon as a coach saw I was fast, hey, have you thought about trying out for this sport?
Oh, I'm sure.
Trying out for this sport? So I played just about everything. Mm-hmm. I love track and field. I enjoyed everything about track and field. And I really, really enjoy watching basketball, probably the most of all the sports. Okay. Football is right there with it, too. But I enjoyed playing football the most.
Hmm.
I think part of what I loved about football was the camaraderie. It's the one sport. All the sports talk about us against the world mentality and a lot of those kind of things. For me, it was the one sport that you actually believed it. Like your coach, if you got a good coach, if you got somebody who was really talking you up and everything, it didn't matter if you were sitting the bench the whole game. You were still cheering your fellow players on and stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense.
There was something about being even at a low level like I was in football that was so addictive and so entertaining and so like, God, I'm so happy to be a part of this. You know, I had my favorite number as my jersey number. There was such a – I got to return something that I always wanted to do in sports was being a kick and punt returner. There was something about that. So I think football was my favorite sport to play. As much as when he said that, I thought of basketball right away while you were talking. Mm-hmm. I was thinking – no, I'm joking.
Wait a minute. No.
Your answer made me think about it, and I thought, oh, yeah, that's probably it.
No, I never mentioned, you know, playing football on the playground.
Yeah,
which we did a lot. Now, I think a lot of you out there would know, okay, so you get a group of kids together, okay, and then you count, and you see, uh-oh, we don't have the same number of players.
Yes.
So what do? You have the all-time quarterback, right?
Yeah.
That was usually me because I had a decent arm and, well, accurate enough that I could get it within a few feet, you know, of the receivers.
Cool. Oh,
so that was usually what I ended up, and I couldn't run very fast, so that was the other reason why, you know, that I would be the one to throw it. So.
My buddy Chris, that was always Chris. Chris had a heck of an arm, an insanely accurate arm. He didn't want to run too much. I want to get into the phone calls, of course, 424-2600. We got a lot to talk about today. I did want to let everybody know that the fourth period, our interview time with our head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, it's going to be at 3:30, and that'll be where the spot will be from now on going forward. So Coach will join us at about 3:30. Looking forward to that. Just got a text from him. He's on the way. All right, which is really good because his shift is up. His shift is up at 3:30. He's part of the top line. We need him out there. Got to get out there, Coach. We're looking forward to talking River Kings with him. And after that, maybe we'll have more time to get into the Ohtani thing. But for right now, I want to start with where every sports show, almost every show, is starting the college football playoff.
Yeah, all kinds of hot takes going on.
Yeah, I want to start off first with a tweet from Jordan Travis, the injured Florida State quarterback, who is a part of an undefeated team. And with the news breaking. Now, I can't imagine if you're listening to this show, you don't know what we're talking about.
Right.
But for those that don't know, yesterday they broke the news pretty early on, or pretty late in the day.
Okay.
That what the who were going to be the USA
the college playoff, right? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay.
It's a college playoff, but they had something else in
mind. Oh, I see. Okay.
I wanted to get it right. The Associated Press. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
I apologize. Gotcha. The Associated Press came out with their top 25, their final top 25,
at least,
you know, before the college football playoff was announced.
Oh, okay. Right.
And they had in there Michigan with 51 votes, Washington with 11 votes, then Texas, then Florida State, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State.
Okay.
So that news broke, and I wanted to make the reason I'm looking this up. That news broke at about 10:32 a.m.
Okay. All right. In the morning. All right.
And it was about like so we had a good half an hour, or maybe an hour or so, I don't know, around there to really kind of be like, oh my God, they did it. There's not going to be an SEC team in the college football playoff.
Right.
I was ready to get on the air today and eat every word I've ever said about college football because I was going around telling everybody and their mother, there's no way, there is no way there will not be an SEC team in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
No way. They would rather not even have it than not have the South represented. College football? College football! You're telling me they're not going to have an SEC team. There'd be a two-loss team in there before there would not be any team in there.
It really seems that way.
So I didn't think for a second that that was going to happen. But I thought, I mean, up until that moment that the AP released their, all this, they got me. I bit the bait. I was like, oh my God, they may actually do this. They may do the right thing. That everything they talk about when they first came up with this, well, we're not going to let injuries come into our vote. We're not going to let we're it's going to be about the best teams and the teams that are ranked the best. Blah 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 blah. I thought that all that was true for about a half an hour, 45 minutes, and then the news
then
broke.
Reality hit, right? Yeah.
And it was announced that it was Michigan number one, Washington number two, Texas number three, and Alabama number four.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and I don't think that the issue with anybody is, well, Alabama's not a good team. Well, no, of
no,
course they are.
They're fine.
They're 11-1.
Very good team. Yeah,
yeah, they're a great team. It's not about that. Georgia's not not a good team. In fact, I think Georgia's got a bigger argument than Alabama or Florida State, even in some ways.
Mm, yeah, you could. Yeah.
If not a better argument, at least a similar one.
Yeah.
Of hey, we just went 29-0. We did, or 24-0 or something like
yeah.
that. Didn't lose a game, won two titles back to back and everything. At the very least, you'd think we should have a chance to at least compete for the third. And let's be honest, between you and I, we know we're kind of one of the best teams in the whole world.
Which is so, true,
you know,
yeah.
Which is what
true.
This thing is all about. Right. So, you know, if you can nudge in and let us in there. But they couldn't. There was no way that if Alabama beat Georgia, they could get Georgia into the playoffs while saving some face.
Mm-hmm.
And not turning this into, we all understand it's a money grab, but they don't want it to seem that way. They're going to go as close to the line as they can. And boy, did they. Boy, and they got exactly what they were hoping for. They got that sweet Alabama mm-hmm. in there. They got them at the number four spot, so they look good with doing it. And then all that news breaks, and Jordan Travis, the, again, injured quarterback for Florida State,
mm-hmm.
tweets out this, devastated, heartbroken, and so much disbelief right now. I wish my leg broke earlier in the season so y'all could see this team is much more than the quarterback.
Ugh.
I thought results matter. 13-0, this roster matches up across any team in those top four rankings. I am so sorry. Go Noles.
Oh, oh my gosh.
I'm heartbroken reading that.
I know.
I wish I'd have broken my leg earlier. Think of a young man thinking about that feeling. Think about that being your kid, that feeling that way.
I know. It's just
and he's right to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
He's right to because there's no arguing that you can go ahead and do it. I'm not saying you can't, but to me, there is no arguing that a team with a loss is better than a team with no losses. This is math.
Yes,
I thought we all agreed at least on that. It's mind-boggling, and it's not at the same time.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where it's frustrating, it's confusing, it gives ESPN and Fox plenty to talk about for the next week or two, but it doesn't solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make this right. Adding 12 teams next year doesn't make this right. The 13th team next year is
going to
be
yeah, right, exactly. We're going to have the same issue. I don't know if a lot of people heard this, but was it late on Friday or sometime during Friday? Nick Saban made this the statement, if a team from the SEC doesn't get in, that's a sign of disrespect. Apparently, that's all he had to say.
Yeah.
And that did it. And that freaked them out.
Yep.
We've talked about it before, you know, on this and other things. It's like that. It's run by a bunch of scared.
Yes.
They're chasing, you know, they're jumping at shadows.
Yeah.
They're scared. So scared of something. I'm not even sure what it is.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, they still got tons of money coming in. They still got all of this stuff. What are they afraid of? They're freaked out.
You know, I just throwing this out there. I think they're afraid of what they do every year, doing the wrong thing.
I think they still do it.
I think there's plenty of things that they're probably afraid of as far as people in their pocket and all that.
Yeah.
But I think genuinely what they're afraid of is this happening, which they know is going to happen. In fact, there's on ESPN right now, there's a quote from one of the committee members. Holy blank, this is really going to suck to do this as far as regarding the Florida. That's an actual quote from one of them. Like, they know.
Yep.
I think personally, of all the things that are insulting to say from one man to another, all the words in the English language, to me, I genuinely believe the most insulting thing one man can say to another is you're a coward. Mm. I really believe that. The B word, all these other things that men have thrown around since we were kids, that's the one. That's the word. I personally believe that every member of this committee is a coward.
Yes.
They proved it. Yes. They just showed it. If they had let Florida State in, we'd be barking today. We'd be talking about a lot of things. But what we wouldn't be talking about is justice or fairness or, hey, you know, at the end of every conversation, well, they did say that injuries weren't going to play into it, and they stuck to their word. And what else are we doing here? Like, I understand, if you want money to be the all king here, which we all understand that it probably is behind the scenes, if not up front now, okay, then own that. Mm-hmm. Make the college football trophy just a big dollar sign.
Yeah.
Make it, just be honest about it and own it. Yeah. If you're actually going to talk about integrity and what is right and all these other things, I mean, just give us a little at least then. Give us something like you're actually trying. You're actually pretending to believe the words you're saying. Otherwise, just be honest and own it and make it a dollar symbol and make, you know, let's own all this and get everything up front. We're already doing that with NIL and stuff anyway.
Right. Well, it's we see this with every quote unquote committee in amateur quote unquote sports because we have it, look at what, well, it's not just amateurs either. Look at FIFA.
Yeah.
Like one of the most corrupt bodies on the planet, the Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
Again, one of the most corrupt bodies on the planet. You look at,
you just made me feel better about American sports.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
I've been feeling crummy
since this time yesterday, or around noon yesterday.
Yeah.
That just made me feel better comparing FIFA and the Olympic committees. Those are the most corrupt organizations of all time.
Yes. I think it has proven to us really who has the power in all this, and it's individual programs that throw a lot of weight around that can say things like this. And in the end, I guess. There was no surprise.
Yeah.
Once Alabama won that game, they were in. Doesn't matter they lost by double digits at home to Texas, apparently.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
It's funny, too. Two things happened with this. One, Alabama immediately went from one of those teams where everybody was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. Alabama turned their season around. Good for them. And, wow, how great and all that. We hate you again. You're evil. You're the Patriots. Blah, 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 and all that. Immediately, with one tweet, that all changed.
Maybe they were uncomfortable with people liking them. They're like, wait a minute. This doesn't feel right. This is wrong.
But here's the thing. I have not heard one talking head talk about this. Alabama beat Georgia.
Yes.
Alabama just beat a team that went 24-0. They went 24. That's a pretty cool thing. That's awesome. The SEC championship game was awesome. We haven't even gotten to get. We don't even get a chance to be in the talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get to go into this idea that these two, Goliaths faced off and the way it went down and everything. It was kind of cool.
Well, from now on, now that everything is set and ready, I have one team that I am rooting for,
yeah,
and that is Washington.
You and me both.
I want Washington to win the whole thing as their conference dissolves. Yes. I think that would be fabulous.
I love the idea of that. I also think it's incredible that a team got judged for having their quarterback injured, but another team didn't get judged for basically being under the FBI's watch all season. Like Michigan, nobody knows. Michigan just like one thing after this title might not even, if they win, it might not even count. But that's okay. Michigan, number one team in the country. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Yeah, good afternoon again, guys. I just wanted to, while you're laughing, I don't know if you heard Graham Mertz is applying for his sixth year of eligibility in Florida.
Oh, you just want to leave.
30-year-old Graham Mertz, quarterbacking for the University of Virginia. That's wait for that, everybody.
He's Van Wilder right there. Yeah.
It's, college is fun. College is fun. That's all. I did not hear that. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the call. Thank you. As long as we're breaking some news there for those that did not hear, Wade Miley is staying in Wisconsin.
Nice.
Wade Miley is just signed a deal. It was a one-year deal, 8.5, I want to say. Yeah, $8.5 million mutual option for 2025. Wade likes it in Wisconsin.
He does, and he is an asset, man. He's the epitome of the crafty lefty, you know? I think he's great, and he's a great especially a contrast to some of their harder throwers, you know, depending on what happens with Corbin Burns, who knows, but you still got, you know, Freddie Peralta. You've got some pretty hard throwers on that. And then you all of a sudden throw a junk lefty at him. I love that. That's a great contrast.
I love this term. He's an innings eater.
Yes.
He's an innings eater. I love that term.
It's one of my all-time, it's my favorite things, yes.
It's a good one.
Not many of those guys left anymore.
No. Nowadays, I mean, in a couple of years, an innings eater is going to be a guy who goes like four innings.
Four and
like,
five innings, right?
Yeah. Wow, that guy went a whole five. Like, it's very different. Very different than they used to be. I wanted to certainly get to, we're going to get to break in a second here. Did have a couple of other quick notes that I wanted to get to. I'm starting to write this stuff down more. So I'm making sure that Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen, a three-year starter and all Big Ten performer, is declaring for the 2024 NFL draft. Allen, who made his announcement last Tuesday on social media, will not suit up for the Badgers in their upcoming bowl game. That bowl game, of course, where Wisconsin is going to be taking on LSU on New Year's Day.
Very
it's
cool.
It's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Should be a good one.
A little bit of a surprise, actually. If you're,
yeah, it is. Yeah. Almost everybody had them against Auburn. Mm-hmm. So I don't, but nobody had Alabama beating Georgia either. So that kind of changed
a lot
of things.
Yeah, who knows?
It's going to be – first off, don't worry, Badger fans. LSU is going to have like half their team gone too because half of them are going for the NFL draft and everything as well. But Wisconsin and running backs are hand in hand. They are running back you in many ways and have had a great history of running backs. You don't have a ton of them that are from Fond du Lac. You don't have a ton of them that are Wisconsinites and everything.
Yeah, the natives of the state,
And while he's got a year of eligibility, and I think a lot of – some people were actually wondering if he was going to even like go into this transfer portal and all that stuff. He's going into the NFL because he couldn't imagine playing college football for any other team than his UW team, than his Wisconsin team.
And for him, I know it was a disappointing year personally. They ended up, the Badgers had a pretty good season in the end, but I think for him, he just felt that he probably wasn't used as well as he could have been, that kind of thing. I give him a lot of credit for not, going off or anything like that, saying, making, statements like, wow, give me the ball, or, that kind of thing. I know that's different in college than in the NFL, but it's very understandable that he decided to do this.
Yeah. If we have time, I'd like to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They got the semifinals of that announced. We'll see if we have some time with that. We'll get into it a little bit later. I do want to talk Ohtani with you and some baseball as we lead into break. Some interesting notes here real quick. Did you see this? Andre Dawson says he sent a letter to Baseball Hall of Fame Chair Jane Forbes Clark asking to change the cap on his plaque from the Montreal Expos to the Chicago Cubs.
What?
A decision by the Hall he disagreed with at the time and has objected to for 13 years. He didn't get to pick what his cap was going
to
be.
They do get to do that now.
Yeah,
but when he was inducted, they did not.
I thought they always got to do that. Nope. That's a smack in the face, man. That ain't right. Like, you should be able to at least decide that part.
Well, to be fair, I think it should be the Montreal Expos personally, because I think he had a better, most of his career was there, and he had some really great. I know he had his MVP season was in Chicago. I get that, but for me, I love the idea for that. But again, like you, like it is kind of his. should be his choice. So if he wants to go in it as a Cub, that's fine. Because, you know, the Cubs don't have nearly that many. How many do they have? Let's see, six, seven, eight? No.
As much as I may get disowned by the by my family for this, I actually agree with you. And I like the representation of the Montreal Expos, especially for 50, 60 years from now, when people are really unsure what that was.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought it was interesting. The change, this may be the interesting part of it to me, though, not the part about Dawson and the 13 years, although I did find that, I did not know that part. The change followed reports in 1999 that Tampa Bay offered to compensate the newly retired Wade Boggs if his plaque bore a Devil Ray logo. Boggs was inducted in 05, and his plaque, of course, has a Boston Red Sox logo.
Right.
How many people, for one, forgot that Wade Boggs played for Tampa Bay? And two, I want you to imagine just for a second a parallel universe where Boston Red Sox fans have to watch Wade Boggs go into the Hall of Fame as a Tampa Bay Ray.
That would be hilarious.
Think about how they would handle that.
Oh, the rational, Boston fans?
The rational, well-adjusted Boston fans. I think that's pretty interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
One last baseball note before a little bit later, after we're done talking with Coach in the fourth period, Seth and I are going to get into the Ohtani, not just where he could go, but if he goes there, how it's going to look.
How it's going to look, yeah.
Reliever Liam Hendricks and outfielder Cody Bellinger were selected Major League Baseball's Comeback Players of the Year.
Very good.
Very, very cool to see.
Very deserving, yeah.
I mean, Cody Bellinger, I think a lot of people wrote him off, including like 29 teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
They pretty much gave up on him and everything. And you can make the argument, even the Cubs didn't believe in him that much, only gave him a one-year deal.
Yep.
What a season. I've always been a fan of his. I was so happy to see that. I didn't care what jersey he was wearing last year. And Liam Hendricks beat cancer and ended up back on the diamond.
That's always a discussion. Exactly. It's happened a few times. Mm. A couple players have done it. Like Mike Lowell is probably one of the biggest ones. He did the same thing.
Right.
But this one was, it was a little different this time. The kind of cancer he had was a little different. And so I think that had a bigger part, and that the treatment was more intense than some of the other guys have had. So you're right. That's totally deserved for him to come back after that and play was awesome.
A big congratulations to them and their families, and a big thank you to them for entertaining us this past baseball season. Both of them gave us a lot to cheer for. Coming up, we've got the coach's shift coming up. Coach, your shift is on up. It's coming up. We've got the fourth period coming up right here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by our friends here in Wisconsin Rapids at Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out. WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined with Seth Habegger today.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And we are kicking off the fourth period. We have head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, with us right now. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
How did it feel to sleep in your own bed this weekend, or at least in town here at the very least?
It was wonderful.
It's a nice change of pace, I imagine.
Yes, it is.
I want to get to a new signing by the team. I want to get to this to plenty of what's coming up here. But let's rewind a little bit. How did you feel the weekend went? What were your takeaways from this weekend?
Well, the first off, it's always nice to come away with points, right? I mean, but we came away with 3 out of 4. To be honest with you, I was not very thrilled with the way we played on Friday night. I thought it was a lackluster, and believe me when I tell you, I let them know about it, especially after the first period. So the fact that we bounced back and we actually got a point out of that, we still had plenty of chances to win it, which we should have. And the way we played on Saturday night, I thought was a tremendous difference. And that's the way we play.
You know, nobody wants these games. We all want to go undefeated and put up 10 goals a game and these things. You get adversity. You have these moments. It always seems to be good to have them now than in the playoffs. Right. So you have that happen Friday night. And we all know you well enough to know that, yes, there was a fire. I'm surprised that our fire department didn't show up over there just in case. To have the game, the turnaround Saturday. What was it like Sunday or today when you meet with the team and have that collection of data? You had the Friday, the Saturday. How is it going today when you're kind of taking this all in?
Well, it's, obviously you talk to the boys. It's, I'm proud about the way they bounce back. Mm-hmm. and we got to clean up some of the things that we need to clean up. So the meetings that we had today are going over the video and some of the things that were obvious that we talk about a lot. Listen, these are teenage kids, right? So it's repetitive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's, and then when you go over the video and you just hit pause and you watch them do the same stupid mistake 10 times in a row, this is what happens,
yeah.
Right? So we got to clean it up. We know it because when we play the way we want to play, which is Saturday night, that mm-hmm. kind of style, we're tough to beat, right? So we can't afford to give away points. With the tight race that we're in right now,
mm-hmm.
Teams that are ahead of us are winning and the teams mm-hmm. below us are winning. And they make it, on any given night, you know, somebody's going to bite you, and we got to be ready for that.
We're sitting here in the standings, just a handful of points behind Hudson. And you're right. Looking at the top to bottom teams, outside of maybe a team or two, it's neck and neck, and yeah. It looks like it's going to be all season. We talk about the things that aren't necessarily where we want them right now. What has been the most consistent things to you this season? To me, it seems like goalie play yeah. has been pretty consistent from game one yeah. to now. Are you seeing anything else, or is that the most consistent you've seen?
Well, I think our defensive play, for the most part, I mean, if you look at our goals against, we're the best team in the division, right? We have the lowest goals against, and that's something that I preach from day one. In every year, I have been in the top three in our division, wherever I have been, because it's just the style that we play and the systems that I run. So it's very conducive to our defense and our goalies, as long as everybody buys in, right? And when you do that, you give yourself a chance to win every night, regardless, because right now, we can't score goals. I mean, we've lost 3 out of 4 shootouts. That's literally with nobody else on the ice but you and a goalie, and you can't mm-hmm. score. Right? Yeah. So that's a problem, which is something we addressed today, and we worked on it. All the breakaways and all the, you know, the overtimes and things like that, these are opportunities that you can't let slip away. And so what does that mean? That means if I got to go find somebody that knows how to put the puck in the net, I'll do that,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. and they all know it. This is no secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
They all look at each other and you know they're just as frustrated.
Yeah.
But you know, then you put in 6 on Saturday night, right?
Right, so, right.
See, that solves a lot of problems.
But, sure does. Yeah.
But when you get 2, right? Now the margin of error is slim,
right.
And you can't afford mental breakdowns and doing the stupid things that we do consistently that we got to clean up. So that's the fine line.
I don't think we've gotten to get into this before, so I don't mean to go on a side path here, but you mentioned the system that you run.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that system come from? Where did you learn like this particular style? Because I understand there's other styles like this similar to it. I think it's pretty unique, though. I've talked to my dad about this and everything, the way that you run this team, this organization, really.
It's not an overly complicated system, but it's very committed, very defense-oriented, where you always have backup, right? You can never leave anybody out to dry.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be above the puck. It's not a man-on-man, right? It's not. It's some of those are really aggressive, and then you're exposing. To me, it's the game is very simple, right? We just overcomplicated it with all these different systems. You got
Agreed.
People flying around all over the place.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Take care of what you need to take care of, which is in your own zone. It's the net, right? You got it. Your net front presence. You have to be there. Any battle in the corners or up or high on the points, you got to have a guy supporting that in case he gets beat. Somebody's there to back you up,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you always have that, it's called a box plus one, right?
So, yeah.
And that's all we do. So everybody understands their rotation and their shift and what happens where the puck goes. And I do a specific drill that just. Every now and then, just a reminder where we need to be. And it's just 7 pucks on the ice, and here, there, and we just have guys shift so they understand where they're supposed to be. The puck's behind the net. You can't have guys all the way out there.
Yeah,
everybody's got. We got to crowd the house and keep everything to the outside, and then you win your battles, and then you go, right? That kind of stuff. So that's the defensive side of things.
My dad says to me the other day, Jimmy, I'd have loved to play for him. Like, and we were laughing and stuff, and I'm like, well, why exactly? Because I saw him play, and I know the kind of guy he was and everything. But the first thing he thought of is I did not know this about him as much as I thought I knew about the guy. He loved playing defense. I knew any guy that plays hockey without a helmet, you got a feeling that the guy likes to you know, smash it up against the boards a little bit
he's not
and everything.
Afraid, yeah.
But he liked the speed of, like, the that defense comes first, but speed is right there. And so many teams, I think, when they do go in a defense mentality, it's a little bit more of like holding the puck kind of thing, and a little bit more of like just keeping it on your side or keeping it away from your side or this kind of thing. With you, there is defense, but there is a right amount of aggression where it's speed related, and it's having guys back and stuff. There are guys, it's a very interesting way to me.
Well, there's two ways to play it. There's passive and aggressive.
Yeah.
You got to know when to do what, right? So if they have the puck and they're already looking at you, and then you're passive, and it's more about positioning and making sure you're between the puck and your net, right? You got to be in the shooting lane. You got to eat pucks, and we talk about that a lot, right? So we have some guys that have no problem throwing their body in front of blocking shots and this and that, and some guys got to do a better job. But it's we all know defense wins championships. Nobody teaches it, right? And nobody's committed to it. Right. So if you do that and defense creates good offense, right? You're blocking shots, you're getting fast breaks, you're going, right? So and then we play with speed, and so now when you create a turnover, you win those 50-50 battles, and you got to know where to go because we're going to stretch and we're going to blow the zone and we're just throwing bombs, and then all of a sudden in one pass you're in their zone and get it away from your net, get it in front of the net, because if you're down there they can't score. Right, so it's just a mentality you gotta have.
Well, I know at least one player that has been listening because on Friday night, I think it was Luke, joined the press box. He was doing a little color commentary, and he said two things that the coach just mentioned. He mentioned on the broadcast about defense number one and eating pucks. So he's paying attention.
He's a great kid. I love that kid.
Speaking of great kids, we got one a new one coming to town. Coach Joel Teximo. Am I saying that right? Forward from Mincing, Ontario, previously with Bradford Bulls, going to be coming over to us. Yep. What can you tell us about this young man?
Great kid. Very quiet. Big guy. Loves to bang. I specifically sought him out because it was a good fit for where I wanted him to be and who I wanted him to play with. And I think he, the first game, he only had two practices, right? So Friday night was kind of just feeling things out. And I thought Saturday he played very well. That line as a whole did a lot of good things for us. He's very reliable, and again, because he's very good on the defensive side of the puck, right? So responsible that you can trust in certain situations, and that's critical for us.
Boy, feeling that confident about puck handling with a kid, you know, at this age especially, that's a big selling point right there, let alone him being a big kid. That's always nice, too. That's always nice to bring in. We're looking forward to seeing him more and more of him this season.
Absolutely.
The season is, of course, continuing. It's going to be on WIRI's as it is live and direct from the Southwick County Rec Center. Get your tickets for it this weekend. Got a team nipping at our heels coming to town. The Minnesota Moose right behind us in the standings. They are, I'm sure, in their facility right now talking about this is our chance to move up in the standings by taking out the Kings. You want the King, you best not miss. You better come for it right. So when it comes to this weekend, what are you looking at as a preview to you? What do you look at in the Moose? What are you seeing?
Well, they're a big team. They're fast and they're physical, very similar. So we better be prepared and we better come with it, right? This is a team we know we can beat. We've done it before, and they've beaten us. So, you know, if you don't bring your A game, you're going to get spanked. So, and just like any other team, you know, I mean, we have to be mentally and physically prepared to battle because they like to bang. They got good goaltending. They're very big on the decor. They're very similar to us. And actually, that's one of the teams that this year I wanted to build my team similar to their style, size-wise.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can't compete, you know, if you don't have some of the same. And that team wound up going to the Nationals, and we didn't. Right? That was something that was on my mind the whole recruiting process is, okay, we need to beat them. We need to get into the top two to get home ice advantage for the two rounds, and then hopefully have a shot to go to Nationals.
Game inside a game for this weekend. Certainly it means something with the standings and this point in the season, but there's also a little bit of last season playing into this and a little of what you're saying there. So that just adds more and more storylines and more and more reasons to care and enjoy this great weekend of hockey. I'm looking forward to a coach. You can catch River Kings hockey this weekend right on our sister station, WIRI 659. 9. Our pregame kicks off. Kings hosting Minnesota Moose right here in Rapids. Game 2 on Saturday, same pregame time, 6:59. Join our great announcing team. Seth's going to run the board and make sure it sounds good for you. We're very excited about that. And get your tickets. Most importantly, get your tickets and let's show them what home ice advantage is. Help the Kings build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. We'll talk again real soon. Thank you, Coach. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back with more Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Big thank you to them. Huge thank you to our friends, our friend Coach Paul Peckman for joining us. Coach Paul, always good to talk with him and hang out with him. We'll have another episode of the fourth period for you next week at 3:30.
I would have liked to have seen him play.
Yes.
As intense as he is as a coach, I can just imagine what it was like when he was a player.
I know just from a little bit of experience and stuff behind the scenes of hockey teams and stuff, I guarantee you he was a bulldog out there. Definitely. Just a bulldog on ice.
He's not the tallest guy, so I'm guessing he had to really use a lot of a gumption, I guess you could say.
Probably had some strong legs.
Yeah.
You know, shorter guys in hockey always got the huge,
the big legs, legs. Altuve legs.
Big guy. Thank you to Coach Paul. And again, go to riverkingshockey.com. Help the Kings build hockey up and down the river. Get your tickets. We'll meet you at the Southwick County Rec Center, not only this weekend, but we got next weekend also.
Especially this week. I mean, these two coming up weekends are like big. This is a big series.
Yeah.
A very important one. So this is the time to come.
The Minnesota Moose are literally a point behind us in fourth place in the standings. That's our team this weekend. And then the Minnesota Squatch are the following weekend, who are right ahead of us in the standings currently.
And the Moose played the Squatch really tough this weekend, this last weekend. So, yeah, there's a bunch up at the top of the standings right now. It's going to be an interesting end of the year.
It really
as if it keeps going like this.
Get your tickets and support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river.
Mm-hmm.
So, Seth, the biggest name in baseball, Shohei Ohtani, is a free agent, and we're going to be talking about this while we can.
Right.
I want to get to that, but I want to talk about the winter meetings and all. Before we get to all of these things, I do have to rewind just for a second to college football.
All right.
I did want to give our stat of the show, not stat of the day, because we're stat of the show.
Yeah.
Who was the last team to win 3 back-to-back-to-back championships?
You gave me the answer earlier, so I'm not going to spoil it. So I'll let you do it.
Georgia had this taken from them. They're not going to be able to do that. They are not even in the chance to do this.
Yep.
So they went 2-0, won back-to-back titles, similar to, I think, Ohio State and some other teams, other teams that have done it in recent history. I saw this stat, and it literally, I had to find my mind because it was blown. Dating back to 1900, Minnesota is the only team to win 3 national championships in a row from 1934 to 1936. Minnesota,
yeah.
Of all the teams, I would have never had Minnesota. Of 161 teams in college football, probably my 140s maybe I'd have gotten to Minnesota.
If you go back to, the 1920s, that's kind of when college football was first really organized, that kind of thing. The big teams, if you go back and listen to, what people talked about, the big games were like the Southern California games. USC was always big in there. The Ivy League. Surprisingly, the Ivy League games were big, Yale and Harvard and all those. But the other ones were the Midwest teams. That's where the big football, because that was when you just had the guys that were in your state that came to play for you. And we're talking big strapping farm kids that were coming into Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa and all these teams. So,
interesting point.
So that makes sense, actually, because if you go back and look and see who the big teams were back then, a lot of them were like what became the Big Ten. So
thought that was an interesting stat. Mm-hmm. That was our stat of the show. Stat of the show.
At one point, they were okay.
they were all right. So you can always hang your hat on that if you're a Minnesota fan out there. So looking at the winter meetings, as we are in our last 10 minutes, we are in the fourth period here, getting right up to the top of the hour. A lot of things coming out of the winter meetings I thought were interesting. As Brian Cashman continues to lose his mind, and it is hilarious to me to watch. I would never laugh at another person's mental health. But Brian Cashman is, I'm enjoying it. A couple of interesting notes before we touch on the Ohtani talk. There is a prediction that Josh Hader is going to break the record for reliever contracts. And I think that wouldn't shock me if this was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the way relievers are at his age, I find that very interesting. And I wonder how much the Craig Kimbrels, the guys that are, you know, hitting 65 right now, like, hey, Craig Kimbrel's going to retire and go right to collecting AARP. He's been in the league so long. Some of these guys, like, mm-hmm. I thought it, when we were kids, we were seeing the last of this, the Lee Smiths, mm-hmm. the relievers in their late 30s, 40s and stuff. Josh has got a ways to go to get there.
He does, yeah.
But his consistency and the fact that other MLB teams and scouts are still looking at him like, yeah, he's fine. Get him. If you can mm-hmm. Get him. Throw money at him. Park the truck at him. That's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. It's also pretty damning if you're a Milwaukee Brewer fan.
It seems to be the where it started. You know, yeah. We've been hearing about this. Greg Council said, "When did it start for you?" Well, when they traded Josh Hader, and the fact that being a closer, mm-hmm. one of the hardest jobs to do in sports and be consistent at it. Give me a handful of the guys who've done it over a long career. Yeah. One of the guys played for the Brewers, Jeffer Hoffman, he was one. You know, of course, Mariano Rivera, probably the greatest of all time. Oh, yeah. You got some other guys out there. But look, Dennis Eckersley. That's a great point. Eckersley, yeah. but look at Aroldis Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically useless now.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at what happened, because it was very obvious they could not use him in mm-hmm. the postseason last year. He just couldn't. He wasn't good. Nothing. He couldn't throw anything. So it is so hard to be consistent at this. I think if anyone can do it, it's Josh Hader.
Yeah.
Because his mechanics are so good and because he's just got that mentality. I think he can do it. So the fact that he's probably going to get a record contract doesn't surprise me. The years is going to be the interesting part for me.
Yes.
How many years are they going to sign him for? Because that fascinates. I'm curious about that part.
Buster Olney, I think, is one of the best voices in sports, certainly one of the best reporters over the years in sports. His mm-hmm. record proves that. He had a great article at ESPN Plus where he broke down the Ohtani possible contenders
mm-hmm.
and the majors, the favorites, and breaking it down. But one of the things that I thought was fascinating about it is breaking down the lineup and where Ohtani would play in that lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all in theory and stuff, but I thought it was kind of fun. And I genuinely believe that Shohei Ohtani is going to sign somewhere any day now. Seth and I have actually been talking about this over and over. Like here and there throughout the day,
right.
mm-hmm. around obviously work discussions and stuff like
right.
that. And there is no tell with this guy. You don't want to play poker with Shohei Ohtani.
Oh my gosh, he's not going to give you wipe you out.
Yeah, but we're looking for signs now. For one, for those that don't know, Shohei's agent came out and said, if your team, we got a meeting with Ohtani coming up. If you release that information, that meeting's not going to happen. Because he does not want any information out there.
Which is fascinating, yeah.
I've never heard of a free agent.
Never heard of that before, no.
Maybe it's happened before behind the scenes. I've never heard of this. Not only that, but the agent coming out and making sure everybody knows it.
Public, yep.
What a move. What a move right there. Like, you've literally covered your bases.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very smart.
So no one can say that they weren't warned. I mean, if you put it out there publicly, everybody knows. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you best honor that, yeah.
So looking at that, we have some certain favorites here and everything. I mm-hmm. want to get to this in a second. Let's take a quick phone call. Good afternoon. You on the show?
John Clayton, this is ESPN.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you for the call. Right. Thank you for the call. Yes. John Clayton. Miss John Clayton.
Oh, yeah. He's gone. But anyway.
All right. So Buster breaks this down and looking at the Dodgers as one of the favorites, of course, and just a place to start all this. And it's a kind of a fun place to start. Well, I don't really necessarily want to. I don't hate the Dodgers. Because
of
Sandy Koufax, I don't mind him a little bit. But of all the teams that he could go to, it'd be one of the more boring teams to me, actually.
It would be. Very, yeah.
Although Mookie Betts at the one spot, Ohtani at the two, and Freddie Freeman at the three. Oh, my God.
That would be one of the biggest three-headed monsters to ever play the ba- – I mean, we're talking
– Man, that
historic.
Is,
that's historic.
That's an all-star game. That's not real. That's an all-star game.
Real quick, I just caught something right before the show started. It looks like Mookie Betts is moving permanently to second base.
Yeah, that is that is wild to
Isn't
me.
Isn't that like a Gold Glove right fielder? But he's good. He can do it. He's an amazing athlete.
He is getting up there, too. But, God, that hurt my soul when I saw that because I love the crazy outfielder. I love the guy who is willing to throw his body and just that's how I played. That's how I watched all my favorite players. I'm going to miss him in the outfield.
I did too until Byron Buxton.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
and all he did was hurt himself. Yeah. But anyway,
great reference. That's a good one. The team that is kind of sort of was a dark horse, but not anymore. The Toronto Blue Jays
gathering steam from the sound of it. Now this could mean nothing. I just want to put that out there. Right. I mean, this is just rumors because of course we don't know.
Could be a complete red herring.
Yeah, exactly.
But red herring with the Blue Jays. bad. Guerrero Jr. in the one spot. Otani in the two. Bichette in the three.
Oh no, I would switch Bichette and Guerrero, yeah. But I would keep Otani at two, definitely. Yeah.
These next two are just kind of funny to me. The Los Angeles Angels in the one spot. Somebody really lucky in the two. Trout and three. Otani. I will eat a hat if he signs with the Angels.
That would be shocker.
I will eat a cowboy hat if he signs with the Angels. Mm-hmm. Chicago Cubs in the one spot, the Calvary. In the two spot, Otani. In the three spot, the Calvary. Like, it's hilarious. But this is where it gets very fascinating.
Okay.
The Texas Rangers. Current World Series champions.
Mm-hmm.
Simeon in the one, Otani in the two, Seager in the three, Garcia in the four, Carter in the five. I don't even know if you need anybody else. Like, you could actually, like, just take the red, like, every the next three hitters can just take the
automatic outs and then just go back. Yeah, right?
And you're fine. Like, if you started out with that two outs every inning with the Rangers starting with two outs with that lineup, I still believe they'd win 80, 90 games.
But look at what's further down there. You got Young, the young third baseman.
Yes, that's right.
Who is also a very good hitter. That could be if he ended up in Texas, that'd be, like, the most dangerous lineup in baseball, bar none. Forget the Atlanta Braves, man. They would be it.
It is going to be exciting to see where he goes.
It is.
And I do think that there are, you know, tells in between, reading between the lines. He is a guy who he likes to plan, has everything worked out. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if he signed with a team that doesn't have it together, doesn't have their front office together, isn't
solid manager position. Yeah.
Yes. So your Angels, your Yankees, I don't see that happening. Brian Cashman, as he continues to lose his mind, and the Angels, he knows what the headache that is.
I don't know how Aaron Boone still has a job. I really don't know.
Find yourself somebody that loves you, like the owner of the Angels loves Aaron Boone. Yes.
Anyway.
Want to look at our schedule here real quick, and a big thank you to Pam Hilke to getting this to us, of course. A little bit later today at 6:05, we've got the Greg Gard Show. Be sure to check that out. Badgers had a great weekend knocking off Marquette.
My goodness, did
big
they.
Big upset there. Shout out to your Badgers and to all the Marquette fans out there. We know there are some still. A heck of a year not to have Marquette basketball like we have every year I've ever been here.
And now it's gone.
We don't. Greg Gard Show at 6:05 tonight. Tuesday, tomorrow, Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Michigan State, 5:00.
Ooh, right conference here. Play. Yep.
On WIRI, you've got high school basketball, Port Edwards taking on Wild Rose. Michael and Seth going to run that one for you again on our sister station at 6:40. Our pregame will start on WIRI. Wednesday, right here at WFHR at 7:05, Wisconsin Hockey Show. Friday, you've heard us talk about this already. We've got great action for you all weekend long on WFHR at 7:30. Wisconsin Hockey hosting Penn State.
Mm.
Then over on their sister station at about 6:59, River Kings Hockey hosting Minnesota Moose.
Both teams are doing really well so far this year, so that's going to be a hard choice. You have to flip between the stations.
It's a puck night Friday.
Yeah.
On Saturday at 1 o'clock, men's basketball, Wisconsin Badgers at Arizona. Should be a really good one there. 6:30 here at WFHR, Wisconsin Hockey hosting Penn State. And then at 6:59 on 105.5 WIRI, River Kings hosting Minnesota Moose. Mm-hmm. Pregame at 6:59. Woo! Hockey weekend, baby.
No kidding.
Thank you all for all your calls and to Coach for joining us.
Yep.
Great show.
Good stuff.
We'll talk to you next Monday right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.